I'm like such a pragmatist on this stuff, right? I'm not a Bitcoin maximalist. I'm certainly not Ethereum. We
Well,
will go
how is
wherever
it that
the
you
sand
are
shifts.
pragmatic in that you don't even have a very cogent understanding of like what blockchain is other than that which gets funded? Like as a Bitcoin maximalist, our position is we only believe in what we see working. And right now, Bitcoin is obviously working.
I got a condo in Miami, flying out my pussy, cooling on the couch, we eating Girl Scout cookies. I was just a rookie, she took me for a grand. Pussy so good, I'm still a number one fan.
I used to have a fetish for them dead presidentes. Now these Commodores, they got me going Cal Menendez. Crazy for that giga, fights for my hitters. Stakes with these killers, the Matrix paying for dinner.
Circle full of winners, paper percenters. I need that bread ball. Everybody running round for green, they get their heads blown. Cashing in on ATMs, close accounts with crazy friends. What they'll do for dollars never ceases to amaze the man.
Flash in the pan, hella money in my hand. Smash for the stands, just so I can feed my fam.
Never crash in the land when I'm trying to get the grand.
I got 50 Bitcoin worth about 100 grand.
What's up, party people? This is Chris DeRose.
And this is Punseth.
All right, Punseth, that's a new one. And with us today is an interview. This guy, I think he wrote an article or
something.
I didn't really, I don't know where I saw him, but like, you know, I reach out to people.
Yeah, you saw him on Twitter. He was talking.
I was like, hey, want to be on the show?
Exhibiting
he's like,
arrogance.
Yeah, I'm in the show. I was, exactly. I look for people that are like a little bit too arrogant.
I am showing you
and
my titties.
This
ain't
guy
they big?
Was definitely one of those people. Lawrence Lundy of Outlier Ventures. So I hadn't heard of him prior, but
I've never
he,
heard of Outlier Ventures, but it sounds like just another VC firm.
Yeah. So we got him on, and you know, the interview has already ended, and we're doing the end caps here.
I don't think he did very well.
He didn't do very well at all.
I don't think he knows he didn't do very well either. It's like, For me, like the whole thing was a patronizing conversation. I hate to say it that way. I try not to patronize people, but sometimes I ask to be patronized.
You know, there's a trick to doing well on this show. One of those big trick is to like have humility, and he didn't seem to exercise that.
I want everyone to recognize that
metacognition.
We patronized, right? We patronized Perry, or we did not patronize Perry Amboring. We patronize this guy.
Yeah, he was so far off. The other thing too is that like it's hard for me at this level to have a lot of patience for somebody who's just actively scamming, and I don't think that what he's doing. I mean, he admits to pumping potatoes, like that's his job, right?
Right. That's the thing. Like, what are you going to do? Like, so you're buying things so you can sell them to the next bigger fool, right? Like that's the purpose
you see
of the sale
too,
here.
Like Mo Levin, he embraces it. He's like, look, that's my job. I'm a conference organizer. I'm Pumper
that's
Mo.
That's what I do.
That's what I do. And it's like, well, he's not being a hypocrite, right? But like, this guy is trying to like, take both sides of the field.
And Tony will tell you that he just sends Bitcoin to people.
Tony, Bitcoin Tony. Yeah. Bitcoin Tony, he's
BitPay.
Oh, that Bitcoin
Tony.
Yeah, okay, I thought it was Arts Bitcoin Tony.
No, not that Bitcoin Tony.
Oh, there's a few Tonys down here. Art is a Bitcoin Tony that does money exchanges.
BitPay Tony.
But only sometimes. Yeah. Other times, you're shit out of luck.
He does the first two or three.
All right. Well, I guess we're going to hear from this interview. We're going to do a commercial break first, and then we'll get to the meat of this. I don't think this guy's actually like popular enough for everybody to like syndicate this, but really, this is pretty good interview.
I mean, I think it's good. It was, frankly, I felt a little bad.
Well, you got to decide what you're looking for in a Bitcoin Uncensored episode. For a lot of you, you're looking for somebody to expose hypocrisy.
Right.
You're going to get it here.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's do it.
Unleash the technology behind Bitcoin with Wayne Chain. Wayne Chain is the world's fastest and most secure blockchain. Our secret? No mining. That's right. Proof of work has been replaced by Proof of Wayne, a powerful new cryptographic algorithm that's sweeping the globe. Wayne Chain features unlimited storage, zero confirmation times, and time-traveling transactions. That's right. Wayne Chain is always correct because transaction errors are fixed via time travel. It's like they never happened. Zero carbon footprint. Full support for unreal transactions. Perfect for banking, healthcare, insurance, supply chains, and more. Wayne Chain is the Byzantine fault-tolerant crypto-economic state machine your IT department has been waiting for. We've turned down investment from the world's leading venture capitalists to bring you this exclusive crowdfunding offer. Just visit WayneChain.com or call 1-800-WAYNE-CHAIN to buy your Wayne coins. That's WayneChain.com or call 1-800-WAYNE-CHAIN. Don't settle for Bitcoin's technical limitations. Get rid of those pesky permissioned ledgers once and for all. Blockchain all the things with Wayne Chain.
And with us is Lawrence Lundy of Outlier Ventures. Lawrence, welcome to Bitcoin Uncensored. How are you?
Glad to have you.
Thanks for inviting me, guys. Really glad to be on. Love the show.
So I saw you online this week, and frankly, I hadn't really heard of you before, and I saw a tweet, and I was like, you know, why don't we get you on the show, talk about what you're doing in the space. Tell the audience who you are and where you came from.
Cool. So I work for Outlier Ventures as head of research and partnership. Well, that basically means I come from a research background. So I was at Frost & Sullivan before, and I used to head up their sort of game changers research. It's classic research, one that's selling to corporates, tell them the shit that's coming down the pipe, right? So we looked into AI, 3D printing, drones, all cool shit like that. And decided to jump on board with Jamie Burke, who's the founder of Outlier Ventures, to build what is essentially a fund and venture builder. So we help fund sort of pre-seed blockchain companies, and then we have an incubator, we help build them, and then we send them off on their way. That's the plan anyway.
Well, have you funded any companies yet?
Yeah. We have three companies in our incubator, Asset Chain, Money Circles, and Byco. All three companies at different stages of development, and another two we're hopefully signing off next couple of months.
What were you doing prior to Outlier Ventures yourself?
No, I was in Vietnam for a year, so I definitely wasn't doing drugs there. No way. No, but I was, did a lot of yoga, a lot of meditation. Yeah, chilled the fuck out because London's crazy. So we got away for a year. Then we came back. But I was in Asia for a year and basically checking out all the different scenes in Bangkok, in Singapore, Hong Kong, and Vietnam, working with startups and kind of trying to see what's happening in Asia to try and figure out how that might impact what's happening in the Western world.
And what were you doing before that? Did you have a background in tech or in finance?
No, I have a background in politics, which is quite strange. There's a couple of us, yeah. Well, there's very few of us, huh? That's the thing. I come at this this industry from a very different perspective. It's very noticeable, at least on Reddit, at least on Twitter, just following different threads. So I'm seeing a really good example, right, is what's just happened in the UK with Brexit is a really good example of direct democracy, right? We've asked everybody, one person, one vote, and lo and behold, look what happens, right? The people make bad decisions, in my view.
People farted on themselves.
Yeah, people generally, they're psychological beings, and people don't vote rationally. Now, I thought that's quite interesting what's happening, certainly with the Ethereum and Bitcoin community to different extents, is that how much centralized versus decentralization do you have? Because in the UK, we have representative democracy, which is the idea that, you know, we have some centralization because generally most citizens don't care enough to vote on everything. So I'm seeing a lot of the, you know, the balance of power, centralization, decentralization. I find that whole industry very interesting just from a philosophical perspective. So I'm not down in the weeds with the technical stuff. I'm very much sort of trying to look above and see themes and trends across blockchain, across other industries, right?
So can you talk a little bit about your history? How did you get to blockchain? Because that's a little bit of a digression, right?
Yeah, it is. So what we did at my previous company is we did this big project, took about a year, where we I hate using the word now because it sounds so lame, but it's basically, what are the most disruptive technologies, right? Everybody wants to know, what are the most disruptive technologies? And we had this approach that was, cool, we'll look at... Go on.
Did you come up with like Squatty Potty? Because that's what I would have probably put all my money into.
No, unfortunately, I wish I would have interviewed you at the time.
Yeah.
We had some crazy stuff like, I don't know, nuclear energy and... I guess, what do we have? Space elevators. I mean, you name it, 120, 125 technologies, like, because we were looking 2025, 2030. So we were looking horizon scanning. And essentially, we sort of tried to condense all this down through whatever model and forecasting you can do. And we came up with five main technologies that we consider to be the most important over the next 10 years. And that was ranked on sort of, you know, ease of access to the market, the incumbents, how fragmented the market was. It's relatively robust, as good as these things can be. And top by quite a long shot was artificial intelligence, more deep learning, reinforcement learning, but we're calling it AI. Second was autonomous robotics, which kind of falls the hardware side of AI. And then third was blockchain.
So you literally, you literally went through all the buzzwords.
Yeah. IoT. IoT. IoT.
Also, yeah.
IoT, drones.
You were missing one.
Oh man, I'm like a walking buzzword. It's kind of crazy. What can I do? Like, this is it. So no, we did that and did the five, and 3D printing was on there, of course. And then tried to look at themes across all of those, and just got really passionate about the idea that if we didn't use some element of decentralization for this new architecture, the world was in a lot of trouble in terms of the centralization of power by a couple of companies. So I got really socially engaged with the idea that blockchain and other decentralization technologies, it's not just blockchain, I mean, IPFS or, you know, whatever, even Ethereum or in terms of decentralized computing or whatever, exactly, right? So DNS and basically any sort of way we can decentralize the world is gonna be super powerful. Because otherwise we sleepwalk ourselves into an environment where there's a couple of companies that are collecting pretty much everyone's data. We have no recourse. We have no understanding of who has it, who's sharing it. And that's the surveillance data I don't want to sleepwalk into. So that's, and then I was like, but dude, I need to get involved in blockchain, and then joined Jamie's organization to do that.
Gotcha. So It sounds like you see, what is a blockchain to you?
Yeah, right. This is the question I basically ask every day. Like, it's shifting to it's broke. Yeah, well, as a researcher, right? So I like to think I'm relatively scientific in my approach, right? So if someone comes to me and says, "You're completely defining this wrong," perfectly happy to say I'm not dogmatic in it. But I was speaking to insurers yesterday, and they were saying, "Oh, we really like DLT as a term. We really like distributed ledger technology." And I was like, yeah, but what they want is they just want a shared database, right? They don't want to even call it blockchain. They just want a shared database with a better permissioning system. So I get the impression that DLT as a terminology is going to fork, hilariously, but fork in terminology. And we're going to start seeing DLT as the terminology that wins, and then blockchain, as it was envisaged by Satoshi, the idea of chaining transactions in order, and that will become part of decentralization, and we'll start to see the different consensus protocols, but ultimately be a data layer. The way I see it coming out is a single data layer that's able to decentralize and distribute exchange of value. That's the terminology I'm using. What do you reckon?
Well, I mean, that's fine enough. I guess the thing that I always see these days is that how is that any different than HTTP, right? Like, because we have that already in the form of like PayPal. We've had that for 30 years.
Yeah, no, it's the right pushback. No, I've said exactly the same thing, right? Why are we not just the way I view it? I don't see it that different. Is that we have a second chance to build a web that is decentralized? Right? And the question I'm asking is it inherently human or inherently with social beings that we need centralization? And
real quick, go ahead. I'm not the technical one here, but isn't the web already decentralized? That's what I was thinking. What do you mean decentralized?
Ah, okay. So the architecture itself, but it's the data that's not decentralized, right? Because the data is being collected in a few walled gardens. So that's specifically Google, Facebook, and Baidu in China, maybe Alibaba, right? So you have a few companies that basically are most people's experience of the web, certainly Facebook in emerging nations. Right, so
what are the companies that you invested in? Repeat those companies again, because
I don't know that he invested. They came to your
Outliers,
what is it, incubator, right?
Outlier Ventures.
Did they pick you or did you pick them?
Pretty much a little bit of both, huh? So really,
I thought my girlfriends come to me.
Yeah,
like a negotiation process. They pick me, I pick them.
Well, I guess it. And which way? Well, how did the balance work for you? Was it more you to her or her to you?
Well, I'm usually doing it to her.
Similar-ish, I guess, without going into detail. No, so the answer to that, I guess, is is we've identified a series of use cases that we believe a decentralized approach is effective for, right? So there's a few core inherent characteristics of blockchains and a consensus protocol that is valuable for a few use cases. And we are investing in those use cases, and then we search for companies that are doing so.
Let's take one of your investments, though. Sounds like they do have a healthcare one. Do you have a healthcare one?
We don't, not yet.
All finance.
Oh, okay. Well,
so just pick one. Like, which one are you excited about right now?
So I suppose Asset Chain is a good example of using the, and this is why I think the DLT and the blockchain might fork in terms of perception in society.
So who's hosting their data?
At the moment, we are. Yeah. Well, I mean, right. Yeah, at the moment we are. Like, so this is it. I mean, we want to decentralize. So it's kind of a vision rather than something we've got right now. We're very much MVP type star, right? So everything's shifting sands. In fact, we originally built, so Asset Chain, without going into, well, so let's say I'm going to just broadly speak about different technologies we're using for those three companies, so we don't know specifics, right? So we did originally build one of those on Uphold.
Uphold.
So the for the sort of medium of exchange, right? So for fiat exchange, and one of them on Ethereum, and one of them on Bitcoin blockchain, right? So we're completely agnostic, and it depends on whichever of those services we believe best serves the specific use case. And so, for example, the reason why we feel Ethereum for one of those companies is that in the roadmap, we believe some form of automation, some form of smart contract would add a tremendous amount of value. And so
you're not conflating smart contracts with automation though, right?
Not conflating, sort of speaking broadly, because right now, smart contracts, whether or not we can even deploy them accurately or effectively, who knows what Roostock will do, but even on Ethereum, I'm very uncomfortable about deploying anything. So
that's how I feel about every other blockchain.
I know you guys like completely. I suppose I know when we're talking about Ethereum, I think the reason why we wanted to test that and why we didn't want to test the Bitcoin blockchain is not because we believe it's better in any way, but we believe for a specific automation, like a trigger point, like there's, you get an oracle and we get data going in with some sort of proof of authenticity, and then you get that in, and then we want a trigger point. So we want a trigger point to, from the real world, to be able to allow us to do a process. And right now that's not possible on the Bitcoin blockchain. So we said, okay, let's use Ethereum, but let's keep everything open. Our CTO, Aaron Van Ammers, based in Amsterdam, he's the technical guy, and he's the guy that's on top of all this. And we're figuring out the shifting sands as they go along. So we believe that, you know, if it proves that Ethereum really is not going to stand on its own 2 feet, who knows what will happen next couple of days, we're perfectly comfortable to just shift the stack.
What does Asset Chain do?
Yeah, it's worth, that's the ideal question. So the idea is the vision to provide liquidity and provenance to alternative assets. So if you think of all the alternative assets that exist, so we have a kind of a more refined view of what alternative assets are, and we're going to focus on one specific one, but I can't speak to too much detail. But it's one particular alternative asset that is right now relatively difficult to trade. If you were to buy this asset, for example, it takes an awful long time to sell it again. Because, oh my God, if there was a cocaine chain, seriously, that's where the money is, right?
That's what we think. Well, I mean, I'm guessing this is for bearer assets then, is what Asset Chain is for, not registered assets.
It's not actually bearer assets, no. So it's actually the key value prop, or at least from what our potential customers are saying, is simply the provenance. The provenance piece is the building block, the foundation, because fraud is such an issue in the market. So just purely the basics of knowing where the product originated, which is much easier in the digital world, and actually one of the biggest.
You don't need a blockchain for that. You could just have that through public key cryptographic signing, right? Especially since they're registered assets, you would just sign off on transfers in a central registry and receive receipts.
You would, but you don't necessarily get the funding for that. So
okay, we're with you. We're with you. We're with you.
But
we get it.
I mean, but it's true, right? No, well, not. I mean, yeah, technically.
Incubator. So they take a hot potato and they pump it to the next guy. Right. It seems like. I'm guessing. I don't know.
I wouldn't say it completely that way, but what I would say is that it's true, right? Hillary Clinton's never spoke about, you know, MongoDB, right? I mean, this stuff, regardless of the fact that we're on a hype cycle, which we are all aware we are. The fact of the matter is, this is getting traction. People are talking about this, and that's important. We can't just dismiss that and say, you know, it's hype, because so it might well be, but it means that hype is getting money, and that money can go into places that previously wouldn't have been able to get that. So,
are your projects getting funded?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we have. I mean, we've got enough. We've got runway. We've got enough that we need to get to the next stage in our milestone. And you know, the we're predominantly European. We haven't invested in the US or Asia, but the idea of a blockchain has a lot of societal and political, resonance in certainly in the European Union, wherever or not Britain.
I'm trying to reconcile this claim, though, because like if it's the blockchain that has resonance, and resonance, you mean from a funding standpoint or resonance from what? Because you're acknowledging here that you don't need the blockchain for that project.
No, that's not true. I'd say that the provenance aspect, but then in the additional aspects is having a smart contract, right? So it's having a way to create a trigger point, which you can't do with existing database tech, as far as I know. I mean,
smart contracts on registered assets, we've been doing them for years. If I understand that objection correctly.
Wouldn't that be NASDAQ and every other like
Scott Trade or online trading, yeah. Omega Research, onlinetrading.com?
Moving this from Wells Fargo to Chase Bank?
This stuff is centralized, though, no, right? We trust one company to be doing that for us, or at least a few that are validators in that network.
Certainly, yeah, absolutely, 100%.
So I mean, that's the chat. I mean, that's my political pushback, is that it's true that we don't need a blockchain for all these things, but I would say that if we can do this in a decentralized way, even if we can do it in a centralized way, I would prefer that we funded as a company and we tried, and I'm saying tried because it may not be inherently in human nature to decentralize, but I would prefer that we tried to decentralize first.
But it seems to me that there are inordinate costs associated with decentralization. I don't know that, even though you want that, and we all maybe want that at some level, we say that without an acknowledgement of the opportunity costs, which is that in the case of Bitcoin and even to a lesser degree in Ethereum, there is tons of overhead related to these projects, and they all have to necessarily be bearer assets, so they get all of the encumbrances inherent to that mechanism. So how do you feel about that?
I think, yeah, there's the trade-offs, right? So by me saying I want decentralization, I have to be very aware of what we are saying when we say it. And that pretty much means higher unit costs. So what we need to do is figure out new ways to monetize and a better way to earn money by using the blockchain. And that's where I think micropayments comes in.
Do you believe that the cost of something articulates the risk inherent in that, though?
What do you mean?
Well, like moving the cost of moving money. If you have to pay more, it's probably more risky.
I don't know if that's true, right? Because hasn't it just been the case that there are rent extractors on the network that are actually charging more? They're extracting more value than they put in. I wouldn't necessarily.
Well, Lord, really? Do you believe markets are efficient?
No. Okay. No, I do not.
There you go. Exactly. Okay, that's fair enough.
Yeah. Oh, so it's just ideological difference, I guess.
Well, we talk about this as a running theme on the show. Like you have to choose left or right. And typically we find
left.
Yeah. We find that there's certain ideas and certain branches of logic that go with the left route. And it usually boils down to that core principle. And
that's smart.
We can leave it at that. Right. I would ask questions here about, to you, you pursue blockchain, regardless or wherever that leads you. In terms of its definition. So I'm wondering why you couldn't have made up any other word in pursuit of that if it's just the funding alone that makes blockchain worth pursuing, seeing that there's no other substance there, perhaps.
No, I think that right now where we are in terms of the maturity of the tech, it's true that there are much more robust and mature technology that we could use. And we have this discussion pretty much in all of our product roadmaps. But I believe that if we are going to rebuild a world for the next 5-10 years, and the companies that we build, we hope are around for a very, very long time, it's my belief that we need a new business model that doesn't centralize data and doesn't by centralizing data, effectively centralizing power. So it comes from an ideological perspective that I think that right now, sure, it's not mature enough and there are better tech out there, but in 5 years' time, if we back the right horse, and the horse being decentralization, I think that we'll gain the benefits from that in that time period. So you're quite right to push me on the fact that it is ideologically driven, not currently economic.
These are ideological investments.
I think our company is very, yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I can't speak for the company broadly. I can speak for myself and why I'm involved in blockchain. So I would say my personal perspective is, yes, we invest in a lot of blockchain for good companies, or we give a lot of advice to companies that we feel have a social objective.
So, I mean, as an older man, not as a younger man, but as an older man, I look into my investments now as a matter of, where is the efficiency being bridged?
Right.
Where is the inefficiency being identified? And what either regulatory or innovation change has made that efficiency possible? Now, for you guys, it seems like instead you're looking at either one of two things, either the ideological goals or the investment sort of model goals.
Pumping
there.
Potatoes.
Right. And I'm trying to figure out if that's standard, if you see that in those terms, if that's not a problem for you, or if that's just the way that VCs work.
I would probably say the caveat this, that, you know, I'm part of a team that makes the investments, right? So I'm not picking these. So we'll have debates internally and I'll lose. And sometimes people are on my viewpoint. But I would say that, yes, as somebody involved in investment, I want to invest in something that I believe in. And I would state, if I was going to rank a list of priorities, sure, that we, you know, let's say 95% of the companies that we invest in fail, right? I mean, probably not. I'd like to hope that we had a better hit rate than that, but probably not. If one is truly successful, I want to have invested my time and my effort into something that I believe that will make the world a better place.
Did you start at Bitcoin?
What do you mean?
Did you end up at blockchain?
Okay, I don't know how much I can say. In my previous job, when I did some strategy consulting, I worked for a technology vendor, and we did a project that was titled "Opportunities in Decentralization," and that was about 3 years ago, maybe. Okay. Opportunities in decentralization, and from there we looked at the map as it was growing the ecosystem.
In 2013, you saw opportunities in Bitcoin specifically. Because of the
in decentralization.
No, do you know what?
The only decentralization going on in 2013.
Sounds like I wouldn't say opportunities in decentralization if it was Bitcoin. I'd say opportunities in Bitcoin. So I bet.
Well, different. No,
changing the narrative now. I think at the time he probably said
that could be right. No, I remember the title. So the title was specifically decentralization because we didn't, and the client equally didn't want to tie the project to Bitcoin. Just because they believe that internally, to sell that to their stakeholders, if they went to them and said, "Hey, I've done this really cool project on Bitcoin,"
that would get pissed off. How many of those investments worked out?
Well, that wasn't investments. So that was just a strategy consultant, and we did that for a technology vendor.
Did you work with companies then, or that were like up and coming, or?
No, it was corporates. But it was corporates at that point. And it's an interesting point, actually. The reason why I didn't start at Bitcoin was simply because of that project. And it's interesting that the corporates themselves didn't think that they could start at Bitcoin because that for them wasn't something they could sell to hires up, right?
It's sex, drugs, and rock and roll. There's plenty of money to be made in this industry. Yeah.
There is, but it's true. Yeah, I don't disagree at all.
Right. The D&Ms do it all the time.
Gambling, et cetera.
Gambling, yeah.
Mining, well, maybe.
No way. Markets are
there. It's the only business model that's currently provable.
No, Bovada's doing great. Backpage is doing great. Yeah. Alphabay is doing great.
Absolutely.
Bitkong is one of our favorite companies.
Oh, yeah.
They're awesome.
Uh-huh.
I mean, here's the thing that I would say. You know, everybody came to decentralization to make money. But what's very obvious to me is that the only time decentralization makes sense is when you're underserved. So
right, when the regulations make it so that like you can't afford to use the current system.
And I think we learned that with Napster even, because you look now at the world of Netflix versus torrents.
Or iTunes versus torrents.
Or iTunes versus torrents. Mm-hmm. Right.
And it seems to me that, torrents are not necessarily a monetizable business because it works, at least in the United States, and it services an inefficiency in the market.
We're no longer underserved, I guess, in that function.
Yeah, your investors saw that Bitcoin was a problem, but I don't think what they recognized is that the underserved are there like bugaboo, which I don't have, by the way. I love the underserved. They're right. My people.
We bring them on the show all the time. Mm-hmm.
That's where I hang out. I love hookers, drug dealers, and
you love hookers more than most people.
Yeah. But I mean, the question I have is, at what point then did you decide to just repackage the themes of Bitcoin for people in a way that was, I guess, in the current manner, like decentralization, curing what ails them, right? Like have you
seen
those terms, or what would?
Yeah, no, that I say that's true. I think during that original project, it became one of the questions and much of the pushback was, we want to get away from Bitcoin because we don't want the miners to have control of our business and our business model, right? So for them, they
Is
wanted
to... Are you kidding me? Was that why? Or was it that you didn't like the associations with drugs?
Yeah, I can't believe that there was a miner concern there.
Dude, I'm for real. Like the idea that you use that network, and sure, there's
that kind of makes sense if he's selling registered assets.
I get that,
which is what I think they're investing.
But not always, but it can be permissioned or permissionless. But again, this is talking about the past. But this gets to a good point, I think, is that this is around proof of work, though, right? So they wanted to get away from proof of work.
Well, that just makes it not a blockchain. Then
it also makes it uninteresting,
right?
Now
as
you're
Peter Todd said.
Now you're right back to like HTTP.
Right.
And also the hard part, right? Like, so of course you'd want to get away from that.
Yeah.
That's the main part of the consensus.
That's
signing off on energy.
To come up with a different consensus protocol, I think that was the idea for a permissioned network, so for a database. But this is it. This is actually quite a challenge. Is that often when I'm speaking to startups, and you know, we have a tracker where, I don't know if you guys have seen, there's over 1,010 companies in this tracker now, right, that are using some form of a blockchain. As you quite rightly say, how do we define that?
Using some form, or saying that they're looking at it internally.
No. I would say that it's using, it could be Ethereum or Bitcoin blockchain. We're not tracking, and we are tracking permissioned ones, but they're actually a very small percentage of that 1,000.
There's absolutely no way that 1,000 people or 1,000 companies are using Ethereum to any end.
No, there's only about 200 odd, I think, if I recall.
The DAO.
Ponzi schemes on there.
Right, yeah.
No, there's 200 projects, so not startup, 200 projects, right?
Okay, so they're not...
How many of those are crowdfunded
right.
projects?
And how many of them are Ponzi's?
Well, how many of them have any money? Probably very, very few have actual money. But then they're not crowdsourcing. I think only
That sounds to me like a list of like children building tree houses.
I mean, you would like to think that some of these projects, Augur's a good one, I guess, right? Some of these projects may well turn into something.
Augur's a boiler room pump and dump.
Augur's a retarded project.
I'm interested why do you think that? I'm just interested, just a little bit. I'm just interested.
Not one inch of Augur makes sense, starting from the fact that they had to sell these shit coins and do an enormous crowdfund. I think you can even contend that like possibly these markets like Augur are dumb in the first place, but I'm not going to even try to argue that. Just Augur itself, like rep tokens, like
we
just
have...
made shit up.
Why would we use
it's
Augur?
16-year-olds.
A couple of things, right? Right off the bat, Augur is probably going to be easily corruptible because it's a smart contract, meaning you can bribe oracles,
right,
at some level.
You can make the smart contract an oracle for a bribe contract.
Which, I think that the DAO is probably the first of many of these sort of like
correct
types of attacks to come. But more so than that is, if I can do this through HTTP, and there's a number of sites, I think like predictit.org is the one right now, why would I bother downloading an esoteric client that is very hard to use, that requires esoteric tokens,
right,
but I could just use predictit?
And Augur's dependency is on market depth. So like you're talking about like a subset of a subset of a subset of people, which is a very small portion of people using like Bitcoin in itself. Now you're talking about the very small portion of people who came from Bitcoin to use Ethereum.
True.
Like how are you going to get any market depth in there? They know that. We know that.
I'm not, no pushback. I'm certainly not a maximalist either way. I'm just interested on your guys' viewpoint. I mean, I'm like such a pragmatist on this stuff, right? I'm not a Bitcoin maximalist. I'm certainly not Ethereum. We will go wherever the sand shifts.
You are pragmatic in that you don't even have a very cogent understanding of like what blockchain is, other than that which gets funded. Like as a Bitcoin maximalist, our position is we only believe in what we see working, and right now Bitcoin is obviously working, as evidenced by the many people who need drugs and hookers and gambling.
Right. And what would if the maxim is that like a blockchain is a thing that can get funded? I mean, I don't see what separates that claim from scammers.
Where are your lines? Like where would you draw the line at what a blockchain is? Because like I'm looking here at the office, this dog could be marketed maybe as a blockchain,
it's a
right?
Blockchain.
If someone will buy that,
Jay Sophie wrote an article about how a sofa is a sidechain.
Right. So at what point do you have any internal standards? Because it doesn't sound like you guys even have a coherent definition of blockchain.
No, we do. Oh, no, absolutely. The reason why we try to keep it open is because this is a very, very immature market. So we don't want to have a specific definition that we say this fails to meet our criteria or this does meet our criteria. What we want to do is we look at companies where they come to us, and then we figure out the tech they use, and then we decide, does that have a business model attached to it? So
it doesn't sound like you actually decide whether they have a business model. It sounds like you decide whether you can call what they're using a blockchain.
Right. That should bother you.
I would think it should.
I mean, we knew what the web was. We knew what a .com was. Like, right. It was a very basic definition.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a sofa.
Are you or are you not a .com?
Right. It was a website that did some kind of online business.
But look, we don't know how this is going to play out yet. That's the I'm thinking. So just to give
I agree with that, by the way. We don't know how it's going to play out.
Yeah. Although, isn't it your job to know how this is going to play out as a researcher?
Or to make it?
Or to have
it's my job, but I'm figuring it out as we go along. Like I don't have any answers yet. I'm just exploring this like everyone else. Like and it's very much the case. There are hundreds of people out there that know far more about this than I do, and I'll try to learn from them and try to scale up as quickly as possible. But what I would say is coming from my previous sort of area of understanding was AI, and with a lot of the AI research, it comes from academia mainly. Is that in academia, if someone's going to use the word deep learning, like there is some understanding of what deep learning is, but it's no rigid definition. People will come along and say, oh, but maybe this is now a deep enough net and it counts. And then someone else says, oh, okay, fair enough. There seems to be an understanding in that community more so than this, that, you know, the industry will develop and it's not for some person to say which is the right direction and which is the wrong direction.
What do you believe the first blockchain was?
Satoshi. Okay. Do you not agree with that?
We do, but it doesn't sound
cool.
It doesn't sound like you do, right?
Okay, well, no, I do. So the Bitcoin blockchain, I would say, was the first.
Satoshi offers a very specific definition of the code.
Yeah, true. So okay, maybe I haven't made this point clear. So the terminology around blockchain, which is why I guess is starting to say DLT, makes some sense, is that, and I'm using the word decentralization, is I'm using really sloppy terminology. Like, I'm not clear exactly what specifically we mean by blockchain, what specifically we mean by decentralization, because that's a vision. It's not one specific thing. I mean, Big Chain DB is centralized, but it's also kind of a decentralized tech.
Before you do that, I mean, like we should stop real quick and talk about Big Chain DB.
Yeah, I would absolutely. Big Chain DB is just an obvious scam.
It's a 100% scam.
It's no different than Rethink DB.
It offers nothing. It's not immutable.
Last I checked, it's a 3,000 line Python script that's a wrapper around RethinkDB. If that's a blockchain, then so is every database ever that was ever created.
Right, my website's a blockchain. GitHub's a blockchain. Everything's a blockchain.
Okay, fair.
Are you aware that Rethink is a cron job? Just that's what it is.
I've been doing blockchain since the 70s.
And that you can literally delete the entire network of data.
The entirety.
As any participant on the network. You can just go into Rethink and delete the database, and then all of the replication partners delete
all of them.
Are you aware?
I'm not. See, this is the challenge that I'm facing, right? Is that sure? There are technical details here, and especially around database tech. I've spoken with Trent a lot of times. I do not think Trent's a scammer by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, we know he's a scammer. 100%.
Yeah. Big scammer.
He
won't come on.
He knows.
He's a scammer.
Right. Ask him. Ask him if you can delete as a partner on the network. Ask him how many lines his code is. Ask him if it runs on an interval
a time interval that is it just analogous, at least,
ask
to the interval of
consensus mechanism is, because it's quasi-arbitrary.
These are all true. He doesn't know he's
fair
a
enough.
I give him that. He absolutely believes everything that he's pitching.
Here's the thing. Like we ask a lot of these questions because like we want to get to the point where we can like figure out what your philosophy around this is. And I mean, frankly, I don't think that blockchains are that hard. Like, I mean, they're hard. They're rocket science. I get that. But like, what a blockchain is, it's very simple. I look at a blockchain. Is it proof of work? First of all, first and foremost.
Well, here's another thing I'd say too.
That actually
His version of a blockchain is sharing data with everybody.
Right.
And if that's the case, then there's two very easy questions. One, how does HTTP not provide that system? And two, where is the efficiency in that system? Because it would seem to me that holding your data asynchronous to the rest of the network is, in fact, your competitive advantage, which is why Swift as a DLT works the way it does.
Right. Swift is...
Again... Yeah, it's true. Like, look, I guess we fundamentally disagree in the sense that to me, it doesn't necessarily matter if something's titled a blockchain or a DLT or a database, right? And we fund blockchain companies or companies that are looking to use a blockchain to solve the specific problem, but we don't come at it to say, oh, you're a blockchain company. We come at it from...
The problem you identified was funding. That was the specific problem they had.
So there's actually two problems. One is that if a company comes to us, say they're in the insurance industry, for example, and they say, look, we do courier insurance, for example, and we really feel that there's a need for us to be able to share our data with the regulator and share it with the customer and share it, blah, 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 blah. We need to be able to share it to start. And you say, okay, fine. And then they say, what would be really great is if we can have a smart contract that can do payments in real time. And then the customer's true visibility of exactly where the data is at any time, and then the value can get distributed, or the value gets dispersed, sorry. That's the problem they come to us, and then we say, well, you know, you might not even need a blockchain for this. In fact, there's plenty of other database tech that might do this.
You know, Visa.
Huh. Or ACH.
But my belief is that they are that Visa or MasterCard or the existing payment providers are extracting more value than they are creating. They're extracting economic rent. So the idea is that we would like to remove them.
So you're saying that you would compete away, what, the 1.8 to 3% fees?
More than that, I think what's funny is a claim that if they're extracting rent, I mean, like, then you should take a portion of your money. You could hedge against that or hedge, you know, toward it by, like, buying them in the market. You could extract money from the rent-seeking behavior.
I think that's more advanced than he probably has considered. I don't disagree with you.
He's a researcher and a financial firm.
Possibly.
But here's the thing, too, is I'm trying to give him the vocabulary to even explain what the efficiency is, which to me is, the credit card interchange fees, which is fine, because here's the question now is, okay, so how are they passing value around if not through ACH, and so why don't we just reduce to ACH? But you're absolutely right.
Right.
Why can't they just decorrelate their risk by purchasing these institutions?
Right. Like,
well,
if they're actually rent-seeking, then you can participate in the rent-seeking behavior. If they're rent-seeking, you're going to make a lot of money by just investing in them. But you can't actually believe that because they don't beat the market.
And that's your actual point, right, is that they're not doing that. I mean, does that not seem obvious to you, or do you have to think about that?
Well, I don't think that's obvious now.
Okay, think about it.
You're the financial analyst.
I'm glad you didn't say expert there, because I'm not. Like, I come at this from to try not to look at the tech and say, okay, in 5 years' time, what's going to happen? And how do these other trends come together? So the fact is that I'm not in the weeds, so I struggle a lot with some of this. But I'm trying to look from a higher level to try and understand how the world might look so that we can make sure the paths are in the right direction.
It becomes I've learned this over the years. It becomes inordinately difficult to make that assessment if you are not steeped in the history of the internet. Would you say that, like...
The other thing, too, is we see with these VCs that they pop into these markets that they have no specialization in.
Right.
And that goes, like, far and wide. Like, they don't have a specialization
and, like,
in finance.
Who are you
going to read?
How are you going to learn what a blockchain is? Because you're going to read people like Tim Swanson. You're going to read credible people. I'm in my underwear.
But, dude, I'm one small part of this firm, right? So I'm of course, adding my element of this, so which is to say, okay, have you considered how this might affect? I'm the horizon scanning guy, right? So it may not be much value to the work that you're doing, but we have lots of other people that will provide that. And we have a CTO and a technical team that say, dude, that's bullshit.
But none of them have specialization in blockchain.
They do. Aaron does.
I'm not convinced that what they're looking for are efficiencies.
I think you're right.
I think what they're looking for are hot potatoes.
Yeah.
Which is okay. I mean, he's at least honest about it.
No, I get that. It's a potato pump factory.
But I don't know if he knows that. That's the thing I'm trying to figure out.
Right.
We've run... That's what Dude, I just no, well, well no. The, in fact, you said that's what I said. That's where the money is.
Right. Well, okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm okay
we agree.
That.
Potatoes are where the money are.
So, I mean, what's next for this blockchain industry? You think DLTs are where it's going to go now? Is that, like, in your mind, where the big frontiers
will,
are?
Will or it, I think
are you
going to
go the way of Boost and just go into VR
right.
or something?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think what we're trying to figure out, I guess, is that we'll permit – so permissioned DLT, which is pretty much what banks and insurance companies and what they want.
We're fighting for permissionledledgers.com to be the – the use.
Yeah, if you want to buy that, let us know.
Yeah, we have that.
Both singular and plural, I think. Yeah, yeah. So you can buy
absolutely.
That all
us. Fair play. Well, I think a bank's more likely to buy that.
I hope so.
But this is one of the major challenges, I think, is that most of the corporates that we're speaking to do not want to even touch Bitcoin blockchain or completely permissionless systems. So they're trying to recreate their own ones, and then you see all these companies growing up to build enterprise-grade blockchains or going in consulting,
and
they're doing all this.
Do is pull the mining out because that's the hard part. And
yeah,
regressed immediately.
Makes it a blockchain.
And they regressed immediately to what they have already. That's what
this
going
is why
it turns into message passing.
This is why I think it'll end up being called DLT.
But DLT is already called message passing.
Yeah, like all it just regresses right back to exactly what we have. All they're doing is like. Taking this long road around to find out that what they have is already pretty good.
So where I see this going, so to answer the bigger question, I guess, and why it might be difficult for me to articulate why I believe in decentralization is because having done some analysis, I guess, and certainly not an expert in machine learning, is that the more data that is collected from sensors, you know, over the next 5 years, you know, the Amazon Echo is a good example, all of that natural language is being collected. That stuff gets fed into one single company, and that company now owns that. And sure, it can earn a lot of money on the top of that, and it creates great value, right? I'm not saying Google's a bad thing or Amazon's a bad thing, but I do think that increasingly, as this stuff comes into the car, into the home, into our bodies, so you know, with sensors, you know, in I suppose contact lenses or swallowable sensors, this stuff is really, really important and valuable data, and I don't want that to be held by one company. It's why the EU's
right, but that's not the claim. Like you can't blockchain that. Blockchain like
not only that, but
like people making sensors.
That's the value.
No, this is what I'm using
the data, right?
Like that is, yeah. So yeah, that is the value proposition.
The
that's the dangerous
too,
part.
The way you too can earn your right to make sensors, along with all these other companies doing it, is to find an efficiency in production, in shipping, in logistics, wherever it is.
Yeah, but efficiency will remove all sense of privacy, right? If we want to go to a full free market where we want full efficiencies, there will be no privacy.
No one wants a full free market.
There's no such thing as a free market.
You've never seen that. You don't know what that looks like.
What's a free market?
It doesn't exist.
Yeah, it doesn't exist currently. But who's to say it won't? It would be arrogant to believe it doesn't exist. It would never exist.
It's never existed once. We've never once in the history of humanity had a free market. Name one.
Again,
you have two alternatives. Either it will never exist, or the current state of the world has always been completely free, and this is the current like state of things.
Correct. You can take
either
way.
Market. Either one of those is a correct answer, I think.
Okay.
You say you want perpetual motion, but it is very likely that in a universe of perpetual motion, we like explode in little pieces. And
right.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Who wants that?
Who knows?
Right. Here's the thing. Name a free market. Any free market. Give us one. This should be easy for you.
We don't have one in the UK, I guess.
Like what, tomatoes?
This is a core principle, so you should...
Shoes? Xbox?
No, none of these are free markets. Buy a free market.
Are you realizing right now as you're trying to articulate this that in fact you cannot name a free market and that you can never find one in history?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure.
We'd love to have you come back to us on Twitter with your example.
Let
of a free
us know
market.
Where the free market.
We've been looking for one for years.
We've asked everyone tells us they want a free market.
We've yet
and we
to find
where
one.
The free market is. And they Bitcoin. Like no.
It's
like
no, that's the thing. I don't want
hanging out with
free
the
market.
Inflation somewhere.
Say it again.
So I mean, that's the thing, right? It might well be true that I can't think of one. So well played. I don't want a free market. Yeah, well, look, dude, I mean, fair play.
Well, here's another thing, too. When we started this, it seemed like you believed in some degree of conspiracies. And we talk about going left.
Well, hear me out.
You would tell us that there are these big companies that control things, or that, like, NASDAQ or the NYSE has some, like, asynchronous and nefarious command of the information.
Which
they certainly have asynchronous knowledge of the information, but whether or not there's a nefarious end is something you should consider, because whenever you go down the realm of not believing markets are efficient, you typically end up in a land where free markets, this ideal, is what you're being pursued despite not existing, and conspiracies are what's preventing you from getting there. But I don't think that that's real. I think that's
I'm not talking about conspiracy, right? You should never assume that what is seen to be nefarious is rather incompetent. So I have no belief that there are, you know, shadowy men that are controlling anything.
So then why the push for decentralization?
Because what I do believe is that the way in which AI is going, AI needs can simply not be owned by one company. And can simply not. What? So let why? Because of the power and the end of the nation state that would mean. Okay. So it would just No, a conspiracy suggests that it is being plotted or planned in advance, and I just don't believe that it is.
Let me go back to, real quick, the payment process. We have three main payment processors in the world: American Express, Visa, and MasterCard. Why do we need more?
Now,
I'm asking as a fan of Bitcoin, but like you're saying that they're rent extractors. It seems to me that like all of the best thinking in the world in that industry coalesced into three really well-run companies that allow me to go anywhere in the world and without having to even do currency conversion, buy things anywhere.
Yeah, but if somebody in Chile wanted to pay someone in Bolivia, then they couldn't.
Oh, so they're underserved.
There is a huge, of course, there's the South-South trade is completely underserved, right?
Okay. Yeah.
South-South trade is underserved.
You should take the next step of recursion and ask yourself who your clients are and who you're marketing to, because you're not marketing
you're marketing to banks.
Right.
No, that's okay. So there's two things. The last company I worked for, right, we'd serve corporates, but in the new one, no, that's the idea is that we will invest in companies where, for example, there is a really great company called AgriLedger. We're not investing in them, but they're going to go to their idea is to go to Papua New Guinea and to use mobile applications predominantly to be able to better serve farmers in those local markets to get price data.
It sounds like they're trying to blockchain farm.
No, I don't think they're trying to blockchain farm. Yeah. So they'll be able to share that, and then in which case, once you have that platform, you can have a financial institution or an insurer that might be able to have visibility into those people that never would have been able to be visible to them before.
Is it a blockchain company?
No, it's more of a mobile application company, I would say.
The reason I ask, what is the use of Ledger for in that?
The use of the ledger is that they could, once the farmer signs up, that community, that farmers union, can all have access to the same data at the same time. So they have real-time price feed. So the idea is to create this that anybody could plug into.
But they could do that with HTTP just fine.
Well, it sounds like they are doing it with HTTP. You're saying there's no blockchain involved.
Yeah, the mobile app. I mean,
doesn't that invalidate your entire point?
Where are we now?
It
sounds like you can do all the things that you want to do, but you know, on a mobile app over HTTP.
I promise you, whatever you're doing can be done more efficiently with MySQL than some crazy Rube Goldberg machine that you guys are using so you can get VC funding.
Fair enough. We disagree, but that's fair.
Well, we will revisit this. I think that with this conversation,
let's come back in a year or so.
Yeah, give it like a year.
We'll see what you
think. We'll examine the claims and we'll see where we end up. We'd love to be wrong.
We'd love for you to have.
We've done a lot of these.
Success rate.
We want to see more efficiencies in this universe so that we too can profit.
We would like our Illuminati friends will gladly.
And I think that's a good place to wrap up the interview.
Let's do that.
So, Lawrence, where can people find out more about you and track your work?
Just go on at Lawrence Lundy on Twitter. And that'll be sufficient. I'm on there and publish on Medium and stuff. Maybe not to the technical level that many of your audience would want, but if you want kind of a broader view of sort of what might happen, and not Illuminati specific, but maybe want to know how 3D printing might coalesce with AI and might be using some decentralization, that's the sort of stuff that we do.
Thank you so much, Lawrence. So yeah, what did you think? How did you do?
2 out of 10. If that, I mean, like, dude, I hate to say it, like, I don't know for sure. You all decide.
Yeah.
But it felt like Mike Tyson going up against, like, your little brother.
I definitely did. Well, you know, it's funny. He started out the interview and he was like, you know, I'm in charge of the research and development.
I'm in charge of it. And then, at the end, he was like, I'm part of a team. I'm not really the decision maker.
Right.
I don't really know a whole lot. Like, the humility, like, it was like gradually greater and greater.
What does that say about this Outlier Ventures company?
Dude, I mean, it says that they're going to give a lot of money to companies that don't have good ideas.
Yeah.
That's the job of a VC, though.
It wasn't always like that. Remember in the 90s? It was much different.
What I think is funny is that, like, the first indication to me that he's a terrible researcher is that he did a lot of research and then, like found himself thinking, like, well, you know, after all my research and all of these buzzwords, I guess blockchain is the one I'm going to spin my bottle on. That's where the bottle lands, is on blockchain. I'm just like,
yeah,
all of those other ideas you could actually, like, make some money in.
Yeah, not IoT. That's a scam.
No, you could sell it to Cisco. Or IBM.
Maybe. I doubt it. Dude, Amazon, you were just telling me Amazon had like an $80 printer now.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Okay,
It'll order ink for you. It's a brother printer. And
it's a $200 printer. It'll order ink for you.
It doesn't need blockchain.
No.
And you know what?
Really blew my mind. I saw that. I was like, you know what's really funny about that printer is when you buy it, you're betting on Amazon existing for the life of that printer. Right?
Yeah.
And what's funny about it is the life of that printer is extended by the fact that it orders its own ink and doesn't require you to like not be lazy. So you're going to have a printer. It'll probably last you 10 years. And the main function of that printer is that, well, Amazon's going to be around for the duration of the life of this printer. And you know what? We'll all make that fucking bet.
Yeah, of course.
I'd make that bet on Amazon before I would about Bitcoin.
I just want to talk to the people that are in IoT that think that, like, printers need to have their own wallets. Because what's very obvious to me is that, like, printers don't need wallets.
No. You can give your printer
when
your Amazon credit card.
When did somebody decide that's what we needed? I remember people giving me this pitch, like when the 21 started, like, well, your Cisco router is going to earn money and spend money. And I'm like, well, if it earns money, then isn't that my money? And if it spends money, isn't that my money?
No, it's its money.
And right, I know. The whole thing was so convoluted. People just check their fucking
logic at
the door.
And then your car will earn money when people pass you.
Yeah, well, I can see a need for micropayments. I'm not going to say that that's not actually within the realm.
I'm with you, but I don't know that that is like where that would see, right?
No, what's going to happen is you're going to have an Uber account or something, or it's going to come out of your Uber trip.
If you're a Redditor asshole who doesn't like ads, you can pay for them to go away.
Yeah.
That's like play, so I don't think that's going to be very used, but there's a lot of Redditors who claim that ads cause them diseases.
Well, I think Lawrence Lundy is listening to this now. Lawrence, if you want to come back on the show and addressing these concerns, if anyone at your company wants to come back, you have an open welcome. We will explain things to you. Trent of BigchainDB is a 100% full-on
100%.
Scammer. He will take your money, and he will have no explanation as for how it got disappeared at the end of the project with
and
nothing
it's
to show
gone.
For it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that would be the first place I'd say to change your business processes.
You should talk to him, by the way. Like, tell him to come on. We've been trying to get him on. He will not come on.
Well, because he doesn't want anyone to expect his claims. It's very obvious. It's very obvious.
He's going to not know what a blockchain is also. That's what I suspect.
Yeah, I agree.
He has a project. He doesn't have any idea what his project does.
Well, the other guy that looks like a Vulcan is his partner on that venture.
Yeah, that's right.
And he says the dumbest things.
Oh, yeah, the Asian Vulcan.
Yeah, the Asian Vulcan.
Yeah, yeah.
The only reason I don't get in his case more is that, like, he obviously doesn't have the ability to know what blockchain is.
He's so dumb.
Like, there's no chance of it. Whereas, like, at least Trent, like, there's like a modicum of, like, dignity
Correct.
Still left somewhere in that shell. Yeah. Somewhere.
Which one of them is the woman
near
of
the third sphincter?
Yeah.
Oh, the third sphincter.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode. You can reach me online on Twitter. I'm DeRose Tech.
Talk to Chris. Don't talk to me.
And if you like this show, subscribe to us. We're on Stitcher. We're on iTunes. And we'd love to count you on our subscriber stats. It helps us out a lot. Thanks, guys.
And this is Johnseth chunking up the deuce of the south. The mass has ended. Go in peace. St. Catherine, pray for us.